Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Whether your radio dial is set to music or news or talk, each could be offensive.
But when it comes to making waves on the air, dicey language and spicy topics are turning up all over the dial. If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Turn on your radio and find wholesome family entertainment. Turn on your radio today and make your mother blush.
Almost nothing is sacred these days when it comes to radio, except not losing the station's license. Radio personalities are pushing all the limits. You may find the language in this story explicit, but the Federal Communications Commission has never fined a Tampa Bay radio station. You be the judge. Are they airwaves or shockwaves?
I don't agree with all of it, but it's very popular.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Homemade Broadcast, episode 476. My name's Will. Oh, I'm a little low there. I'm going to turn myself up. Oh, there we go. Now I can hear. And with me, as always, you know her, you love her. It's Anna Hummel.
Oh, what's up?
I had extra coffee today, so I'm feeling a little more spry than usual.
Oh, I thought you'd say loose boweled or something.
Nope, not that normal. Well, loose, I mean, they're always kind of loose, let's be honest, but just feeling a little more energetic than I usually do at 4 o'clock. Also did a lot today, like busy.
Who are you?
I don't know. I went and like took a coat to get altered and dry cleaned and had meetings with my bosses and did a job interview today. I did a bunch of stuff. So feeling good.
Good.
All right.
That feels better than just being productive. I kind of get off on it too. Like I did, I was doing laundry and cleaning and organizing, you know, presents for people that live in my house and all sort of stuff. And you just feel like, damn, place is clean. Things are good. We're podcasting early today and I'm done and pretty much on time. Yeah, I deserve a reward. So I'm going to have some coffee too. So
pretty
cheers
good.
To us.
Yeah, cheers to that. Clink, e-clink. I love it. Stickers are gone. HMB radio stickers are gone. I sent the last two out yesterday. So sorry, suckers, if you missed out. I hope you got some. We'll have more. We'll have more down the line. Oh. Once the next sticker mule deal comes down, you know, we'll get. I don't even think you got one. Did you?
No, but I do have like plenty of magnets.
Yeah.
And I think I have a sticker in my room. It's like an old one though. So yeah. No, I didn't get the new like holographic ones.
I have one left. Maybe I'll give it to you. I don't know. We'll see. I never see you though, so probably not.
That's not true.
I guess I saw you the other day.
Yeah.
A couple yeah. weeks ago.
Yep. Sure did.
You know, I don't know, it must be election season because there's a lot of, there was some girls at the grocery store that I frequent. It's Publix. I'll just throw it out there. Not bragging, just saying I shop at Publix. And I've noticed lately over the past few weeks, there's been women canvassing the parking lot, trying to get me to sign petitions to, I think it's to legalize marijuana or something.
Yes. I had a similar encounter yesterday at a Winn-Dixie because I'm trash. And I go to Winn-Dixie sometimes just because I like to switch it up. Even though Publix is better, everybody knows.
It's true.
And when the guy – and it's one of those things where it's like I don't want to be rude to you. But I feel like this is my one shot where it's like – I'm telling you, get away from me. Don't. You're the one bothering people. So if I'm not in the best mood, that's on you. And so as expected, I'm walking in, some guy with a clipboard, I make eye contact because it's amateur hour, and he goes, "Excuse me, miss," and I just said, "Don't."
So that's a tough...
I was just like, don't.
It's a tough... It's a,
like, cool. Yeah. I'm like, cool.
It's a tough job for them. I feel for them because they get paid based on how many... Because they get paid based on how many signatures they get, I believe.
Don't do that job. It's a bad job. So it's I don't feel bad for you at all. No one's forced putting a gun to your head to do that sort of crap. Like, I hate you. Leave me alone. That's how I feel.
I could tell you, you know, I could tell you the appropriate way to handle this where you don't have to be rude and they leave you alone. It's real easy. And I did it.
Get your penis out.
No, that can get you in trouble. And they'll definitely be offended at that. It's real easy. When they ask you, oh, hold on. Sorry, cough button there. When they ask you, sir or ma'am, in your case, would you like to sign a petition to get marijuana on the ballot? You say 3 words. That's all you have to do. I'm a felon. And they go, okay. And they walk away.
I didn't know you were going with that, in that direction. I thought you were going to be like, say something like,
oh, well, that too, that could work. But then you run the risk of getting canceled if somebody sees it and films it. But I'm a felon. That's just, they go, okay. I mean, they literally can't do business with you, I don't think, at that point. You're not allowed to vote.
Oh, my God. That's great. Because, yeah, you can't vote if you're a felon.
Right. I don't know. Can you? Well, no, because Ron DeSantis was arresting people last year. Did you know that one of the people that got arrested was a Johnny B Show listener?
Hell yeah!
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
So he was like trying to vote, but he was a felon.
He said that he was a felon, and the person at the library or wherever he was went, "You can vote now." And he went, "I don't think so." And he said, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, even if you can't, they'll kick it back. So, you know, if you want to register," he goes, "Okay, I guess I'll." It was probably one of those scenarios, much like the canvassers, that they probably got paid by how many people they got to sign up to vote. So the guy didn't care, you know, if this person gets in trouble. So they got, I guess, Nathan got a card in the mail, voting card, and then proceeded to vote. And then he found out very, you know, shortly after that police showed up at his house. General DeSantimo sent some troops to his house and took him out and sent him to a detention camp because he voted illegally.
Mm. Now, if you register to vote as a felon, you probably can't do that either. Even if you don't vote, but you register, that's probably bad.
I think that's what it was. I'm not sure, actually. I don't know if it was the actual voting or the registering to vote. I can't remember.
Probably both.
And I think he did get in trouble. He faced like some time in the clink for it. But I think that it was more of a, you know, just for show more than anything. But definitely, I think he got a fine or maybe even spent a few days in jail or something because of it.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in my pocket. I'm going to tell people I'm a felon now.
Do it. I encourage everybody to do it. It immediately shuts them down. They know they can't do any business with you, and they potentially could be afraid of you, too. This was...
I'll get one of these, too.
Yeah. You kind of jump at them. And,
Is it called like a juke where you like fake, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little... One of those. Just a quick head fake. Ah, and jump back.
Yeah.
813-693-2124 is the voice and text message line. The homemade broadcast at gmail.com. You can follow me at home_made_man. Venmo is Will Kuntz, my name. Facebook is HMB Radio, and hmbradio.com is the website. If you do decide to donate today, which I would encourage, I will split it with Anna, whatever. Even if it's $1, I will find a way to get her 50 cents. So if you want to do that, it's encouraged. hmbradio.com/store. No more stickers. I already said that, I think. So you have to wait for those to come back. But yes, so I got to be honest with you. I dropped the ball today and didn't really prepare a show. I didn't really.
That's fine, because I got a story to tell.
Oh.
We need to open up the borders.
Okay. Please proceed.
Now, I'm reversing course on this one. Got into a little bit of a pickle that I've been dealing with for the last 3 days. So, as some may know, I'm actually quite brilliant. But sometimes, much like the idiot part of idiot savant, I do very dumb things. Very dumb things. So I was having a deep and meaningful conversation with my friend who I have weekly or bi-weekly, depending on the schedule. But she lives in Australia, so we have to keep it real tight. When we say we're going to talk, we really kind of like the show. We have to keep it. Otherwise, we'll lose contact with one another. So she's 15 hours ahead. Makes it very complicated. So we start talking on the phone. I feel the need to move, to wander, to pace. So I get in my car and I drive, without a license, by the way, down to Gandy Beach, the parts that are still accessible by vehicle. And I get there and I'm just not really paying attention to anything except the conversation that we're having. I see some very nice Hispanic gentlemen frolicking in the water. They think it's an actual beach. I feel sad for them, but that's okay. So I finish the conversation, beep, I reverse, and then I see like a little bit of a dip, and I go, oh, let's go for a joyride in this seemingly dry pit. Wrong. It was full of muck. I get in, I feel my car like lodge. You know that feeling where you're like, oh, I'm stuck here. I do the reverse willy.
Hang on a second.
Just mud flying everywhere.
Hang on a second. Unless you got a new vehicle, you drive like a sedan. Like, this is not an off-road type of vehicle.
No.
You drive a Asian-made sedan that's many years old now.
Well, it's probably made in Mexico, but yes, it's an Asian brand, sure, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so what were you thinking that you were, that this car would be able to handle the off-road?
Was it? I'm not going to give the details of the conversation, but it was kind of an emotional conversation. Talking about things that, you know, that childhood going down a rabbit hole that I don't usually go into. So not saying that that's an excuse. Just explaining what was going on and why there was a little lack of a rational cognitive processing. Things were a little bit delayed. So I see this dip, but I can't like see into it. Mind you, I passed it on the way to park the vehicle. So you would have thought that I would have seen it. And I did, but it like didn't register in the memory bank. So upon exiting the beach area, I see that it's a little bit of a dip, and I said, let's drive through it. Like in my head, I could have backed up more. I could have avoided it completely, but I go, oh, it'll be fun to kind of like dip down. I don't know, Will. It was a bad impulse. Anyways, lodged my vehicle. I then simultaneously, as the car is going, I look out and I see a platoon of Hispanic men, many that probably don't have their papers, and they look at me and I look at them, and I give that this smile. The can you help me?
I'm a
smile?
stupid girl, and I've made a mistake, and I need a man to help me.
Oh, I didn't need a man. I needed a team of men. So they don't speak English, by the way, but we are communicating.
Everybody because knows what the deal is. Everybody has eyeballs and go, this dummy got her car stuck.
Right. So I go, I think I may need some assistance.
Assistance-o.
I said something dumb, but it didn't matter because it wasn't registering. So they're laughing at me and I'm like, yes, you should be laughing at me. I am dumb. I'm dumb. B-I-T. C to the H. I'm stupid. Help. So I roll down my window and they start instructing me on how to rotate the steering wheel. And they go, mass, which means more.
Correct.
More for those that don't know. And I go, mass, like, yes, Spanish 3, we made it. I'm here. This is why I took 3 years of Spanish and remember almost none of it. But I remember Moss. I remember Moss. So they're like heave-hoeing the stuff. And finally, after 10 of them, I mean, we're talking about like windows are cracked open all the way down so they can get their hands in. They get me out. They give me water because I have muck all over my hands from trying to scrape because the bottom of my car has this like plastic flap that's been giving me issues. And my boyfriend pinned it to the top, but upon wedging it in the ditch, it came back out and it was like a shovel in the wrong direction, like scraping again. So it's like dragging against the ground. So, yeah, so that was bad. I thanked them. Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. I'm stupido. Like, you know, they get me out no problem. They give me water to like wash off my hands. Great. And I was like, I'm never saying anything bad about people hopping over the border again. Because if it weren't for these men, I would have been having to call AAA or my boyfriend across town. Like, it would have been bad. So then I'm like, okay, Anna, I will send you a picture of the vehicle after I got out of the mud pit. So I'm driving along the road and I'm like, Anna, think, do you go to a car wash now? It's late. I don't want to pay. I'm still Jewish. I go, I know there's a hose in my neighborhood. I'll find one. And I do. I find this little water station deal. It has a little like awning over it. So I park my little car in there and I'm spraying it down. And in my head, I'm like, man, you don't need no man. You're really doing it. You needed men at the time, but no,
not anymore.
You're fine. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, much like I had a, what is it called? Morgellons disease, where you think that you're like being in, like something's crawling in your skin. All of a sudden, I'm just like overwhelmed with this, like it's seemingly allergic response where I just start going, ah! Well, guess what? It's 7:30, 8 at night. The bugs are out to play. Will, I have 40 bites all over my body. Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Wow. I thought you were going to say there was... I thought you were going to say it was some sort of like mite or something in the gook that you were dug out of. But it was just like the mosquitoes at the beach.
It was just like the mosquitoes, the noceum, the... I don't even want to say it because I'm going to say it wrong. Rhymes with something. You know what I'm trying to tell you?
I don't think so. Don't get us kicked off YouTube because it's not that. if you don't want to say it, then it's probably not that, I would say.
I wanted to call them chiggers.
Okay, yes. I've heard of that term before. I don't know. Let's look
it
up.
It's not a term. It's a thing. Don't make it sound like it's a slur of some sort, but it is. It's a thing.
Okay, it is. Yeah, it's called, it's referred to in North America. It's this word, whatever this is. Let me share this so people can look it up. So just so you know that we're not kidding and Anna's not, in fact, being racist. let me get it presented here. Share screen. Tab. Here it is. That's what they are right there.
Thank you.
Commonly referred to as chiggers. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the guy. Those are the guys. The bugs.
Yes.
Those are the bugs.
Right, right. They're little microscopic bugs.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's one of those things where it's a series of events, and it's like you keep solving a problem that leads to another problem that needs to be solved, that leads to another problem that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so yesterday I tried to clean my car again because this happened Monday night. Same deal. So now I got like 60 bites, even though it was at a different time of day.
No car wash now? I mean, just drive-through car wash?
You know, that'd be... $12 that I'm not willing to spend.
Might be worth it for the chiggers and the bug bites and all
you
that.
You know, I refuse to wash the car anymore. I had a chat with my boyfriend earlier today and he's like, I will wash the car over the weekend. Don't waste your money. And I said, okay.
That's, you know, I'm pretty cheap too. And I actually went through a car wash today and I thought that $12, it was well spent. I didn't feel like I was getting ripped off at all. I was like, wow, this looks really good. And it only cost, you know, $12.
Well, maybe I'm a little sour because, again, the boyfriend has like a free car wash. It's not a free car wash pass, but it's a pass where it's like unlimited. So every time we're in a certain part of town, whoever's driving, we just go through this car wash because why not? And I think I've maybe gone through a car wash one time with my car, if that. So this happened about 3 weeks ago, and this was a big treat for Gus, which is my car. Big treat for Gus to get a car wash. We vacuumed the inside. Great. The next day, his neighbor decides he's going to cut some concrete. And it looks like I don't know if I can say, I hope you don't have to cut this out, but it looks like a little bit of a, someone's, you know, a splooge party. Can I say that? Probably not.
I don't know. I think
it
so.
It looks like someone did something very graphic to my vehicle where it's just white spots everywhere the next morning.
Listen, so I'm just happy you're not saying chiggers anymore. I'm glad we moved on from that. So whatever you want at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like, okay, this is an omen. This is saying your car's just meant to be dirty. Don't go out of your way to clean it. And then a couple weeks later, I run into a mud ditch and need to recruit 10 Mexican men to help get me out of this ditch. And gracias, muchas gracias. If you're listening, you know who I am. You recognize this face and probably this smile. Thank you. Muchas gracias. And welcome to America. Bienvenidos. Status Americano. Whatever. Thank you very much.
That really sums it up pretty well. I feel like that's the general take of people who are pro this mass immigration. It's just like, we need slaves here. And it's like a nice way of saying
slaves
that.
Slaves to do favors. I mean, it was really a favor.
As long as they're doing stuff for me for free or for very, very cheap, then I'm in. That's like the conservative case for mass immigration. The liberal case is like, I like burritos. I think it's really good. And I want more tacos. And it's very shallow. It's just like food. And then it's just like naivete of they're just people and they want to live here.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The liberal take maybe is more so. And again, this is all like idealistically, but is more about compassion, I guess, if I were to break it down. Not that I think these people are particularly compassionate, but that's how it's branded, is that we're compassionate people. Whereas I feel like the conservatives are a little bit like, you know, earn your way. What can you do for me, buddy? Which I appreciate more, I think, because I subscribe to the belief, and it's just the way that I was raised, is like nobody owes you anything. No, my dad did not raise me to be a princess. He goes, Anna, no one thinks you're special except me and your mom. That's what Papa Hummel taught me. He goes, we don't put student of the month bumper stickers on our car because no one cares and it will ruin the paint of my car. That's how I was raised. And I'm very grateful for that because I didn't come into this world thinking I was special. And I certainly won't leave this world thinking I'm special. And that's the way to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I think it should be. I don't know what happened to I don't even know if millennials are really to blame. There are some that are just insufferable. But I guess the Gen Z are really the ones that are kind of getting after it with this attitude. It's weird. Like my girl is she's just a lib. She's a Democrat. She likes Obama. You know, she voted for Joe Biden. I don't think she really likes him, but she's still going to vote Democrat.
Let's two evils. If the election was tomorrow, she would vote Biden, right?
For sure. Hands down. 100%. All right. So that is that's tough. But I get it. I understand. I'm really not trying to change her mind too much. I am kind of – I drop little nuggets for her. And she starts to see things because she had a firsthand experience with this now. She had a firsthand experience with her company hires these children out of school and they're really bad. They're not particularly good at their jobs and they're in this know your worth kind of culture. And apparently they're all worth.
You don't mean children.
Well, they're children to me. They're 20 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, in my mind, she's recruiting an 11-year-old for slave labor. That's what I thought.
No.
In my head.
Yes, from Mexico. Yeah, no,
yeah,
no.
I was like, what?
No, it's not that. So she deals with these kids who have this attitude of know your worth kind of culture, and they all think that they're worth $1 billion, and they have very high demands, and they're not particularly good at their job. A lot of them, they're just menaces. One of them just didn't work for a long time, and then when it was confronted about it, just went, "Oh, I'm mentally ill. I can't work." And then they went, oh, and then the company's like, well, I guess we'll give you a bunch of money to go away. And he's like, okay, sounds good. There was another one that was kind of like that too. And then refused to like, thought that she was assumed that she was like screwed over in some way over some sort of billing. And then like withhold the files from the company until she got paid. Or that was
hostage.
Wow. Yeah, there was some of that. And then there was, so the one that affected her intimately was there was a person that she was working with, and the guy sent confidential documents to a client that were supposed to be internal, and she confronted this man about this
on purpose,
on accident, I think. Okay. I think and she, you know, she confronted this person about this and just kind of said own your S to him. And I guess he got offended that she used the S word. So he got, he went to HR.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was it SBK?
What's that?
Said, was it SBK?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think so. So then it like kind of spiraled. And I felt like that this person maybe said, ooh, I feel like I got something here. I might have her on the ropes. I'm going to throw in that she's also a homophobe, that she made other comments that made me uncomfortable because this person happened to be a homosexual. So now she's in. Now, you know, my girl, she is like
yes.
The sweetest, most caring person. Lib. Like, she's like, I love everybody and this is good. Everything's
except
good.
I hate the.
Yeah.
No, she's the nicest, sweetest, most welcoming person.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if she even wanted to be a little bit darker just to be more accommodating and to get rid of that privilege that she has. She's very sweet girl.
Yes. Yeah, she is. So now she's like on the ropes now because it's turned into this guy just messing up to she's a homophobe. And she had to go in front of the DEI council and HR, and people know her and they knew it was kind of bull crap. So I told her, I was like, don't be surprised if you have to go into some sort of training, some sort of DEI training, because these people have to make themselves valuable, and they make themselves valuable by providing trainings to people like you. So even though you're right, and obviously everybody knows that you're not this thing that you're accused of, you still might have to do the training just because. So the company shows that they do their due diligence.
It's corporate dance, yeah.
Yeah, but it could, you know, potentially end up on her permanent record that she had to do this training for some unknown reason. And, you know, it was kind of like messed up, but it seemed to all work out in her favor. The guy ended up kind of recanting these accusations after, you know, he was kind of determining that this wasn't going his way. And this person was on the DEI council, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council. So he went for it. He threw the Hail Mary. It was a good strategy. I mean, it had a good chance of succeeding. But luckily, she's, you know, a top performer at her workplace, so she was too valuable. So it ended up not working, and he ended up getting terminated.
Now, if I know you, I feel like maybe some of the advice you would have given her would be just fire back, baby. You identify as a woman. He is intimidated by a woman in power, and it hates women. So why don't you just fire back and say, hey, this guy's a gay misogynist. Who would have thought?
You know,
he hates women so much, he only sleeps with men.
I didn't think about that, believe it or not, but somebody else did. That she knows, okay. Was like, and told me that, and I went, that's a good idea. You should do that. If things, you know, aren't panning out, go for it. I mean, what do you have to lose?
You think about these, like, hardcore lesbians that hate men. Surely there's the same thing on the other side, where these gay guys just hate shit. I hate them. Mm-hmm. They're so manipulative. They feel entitled just because they can, like, give birth. There's so many things that men have to deal with. And I wonder if that happens. I wonder if there's a bunch of, like, incel guys that, like, get together and be like, you know what? Let's just bang each other. We don't need these hoes, you know?
I don't think it goes, because believe it or not, I don't believe that it's a choice, your sexual preference. Apparently, I learned today that Anna Hummel does. But, but yeah, I don't think it goes that far where they just choose.
That doesn't mean you have to like it. You're just trying to send a message, Will.
That she, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's such a big commitment. Mm-hmm. You have to really, really hate the ladies if you do that.
Well, even you know a person once upon a time that felt so compelled to be as woke as she claimed to be that she forced herself to date a woman and confessed to you that she didn't like it very much. So you can try to make it a choice. It may not work out well, though.
Yeah, well, I think with that, it wasn't even – I don't know if they really dated. She got assaulted sexually by another lady.
Like, I tried to force a homosexual relationship with another woman. Okay. As I recall the story.
Okay, maybe. You got a better memory than I do. So, yeah, maybe that was it. But I know there was definitely an act that was performed, I think, on her. And she was like, I don't like this. But you're right. She did give it a go. She was like, I want to be, you know, I want to be in the community. I want to be part of the in-group. So I just, if I'm going to do that, I can, you know, be an ally, but an ally is not really part of the group. You're kind of just there, but I want to be in there.
You want to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
I
want to be in there literally in some cases, and gave it a whirl, man. Got to give her props. She really did go for it.
She did. She truly did. God bless her. You know,
God bless her. God bless her. And she told us about this, and I told her that she was assaulted. And she went, no. But I think she knew. She just didn't want to admit it.
I think she assaulted herself. Like,
yeah.
Not that I'm sure that's what a rapist would say, but, you know, like where it's like you're forcing yourself to do this thing that you don't really like, and you're like, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you assaulted? It's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what her deal was.
Brainwashed by the stuff. I still follow her on accounts, and she was posting about how, you ever see these people? You don't anymore. You're lucky, but there's quite a few of these. And listen, they happen to be women. I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I'm trashing the broads, but they happen to be ladies. And it's like,
are you sure?
I am sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But they tend to, I don't know, just talk about how stressed they are all the time online, and how they're crying, and how they're in bed, and how anxious they are. And it's just like memes about that type of stuff. And I'm just like, what? Like, who is this for? Who is this for exactly? I guess it's for the person posting, but you want people to think that you're like stressed out and depressed, and this life is so rough, but you're on this app all the time just posting memes about being stressed instead of actually doing something about it. It's this weird psychology that I can't really figure out, that it's like
attention grab. I don't think it's anything really unusual. What's unusual is the technology. So we're just doing that to get attention, and it seems bizarre. And it's also something like, it's like this social credit where if I post something and I decide to engage with that person, be like, are you okay? Then when I want some attention, I post something, that person now kind of is in debt to me to provide that same service and say, are you okay? And now we somehow have this community of people where, you know, if someone needs some attention or an applause or whatever, then we can get that validation from them because we're indulging them so that they indulge us back.
I don't know if they're, maybe they are, maybe you're right. Maybe there's some sort of community. I kind of just think people just scroll past it. Maybe every once in a while, someone would be like, are you okay? And then they go, yeah, no, they probably go.
It's women that are posting on these things mostly, or guys that are, I don't know if you could say the S word, but, or those kind of guys, but that's who's responding. But people are responding. If I wrote like, help, I'm sad and depressed. A bunch of like loser chicks are going to come to my rescue for sure.
Mm.
For sure.
Okay. I mean, I guess so. I saw a guy do it the other day and I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And like, this is somebody I like to.
Do I know him?
I don't know. I don't want to use any names. I could text it to you.
Yeah. Do it right now.
All right. I'll do that. But it was just like, it was the person, he was kind of at a desk and he was like, just breathe. Changes are coming. And I was just like, no likey. Ick. No likey that. I don't know what you're doing there. Oh my God. I just saw the picture of your car. That's terrible. Yeah. Let me see if I can get that up.
Poor Gus.
Oh my Lord. Your poor car. All right, yeah, let me text you this name here. Mm-hmm. All right, there it is. And sent.
Yeah, I ran into him at the gas station like a year ago.
Oh, you do, so you know that. I was shocked. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him. And
doesn't surprise me at all, actually.
Just
but,
these
yeah.
cries for help that are... Not even a cry for help, just like a, I'm having a hard time. And it's just like, I don't, you know, I mean, everybody's having a hard time. What are you talking yes. about?
Was this a, this was a social media post or this was yeah. another type of
yeah.
thing?
So, social okay. media. Yeah.
Well, I would say that, and I'm going to keep it real vague, the environment in which this person exists probably likes that sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Where, like, we talk about our feelings, we're genuine but not really, and we want to make sure we highlight and advocate for protected classes, whether it be race or mental illness or being a homosexual, whatever the case may be. So I feel like the people around him probably love this sort of stuff because they get more social credit points for ticking boxes, if you know what I mean. So
I don't know if it's that well thought out. I feel like we're giving people way too much credit here. It's just like an attention thing. And I guess that's what the apps are about anyways. So that's what they're for. I mean, they're for to bring attention to you. You're posting stuff that you're putting out to people who take the time.
You were going to say it was this guy.
Are you texting it to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I didn't know he had that. I didn't know he had that surname.
I think it's new.
Yes, that person does it. This is so inside baseball. Everyone must be so curious who we're talking about. No, it was not that person this time. But I've seen them do that too. But I mean, like I said, I think that's what social media is. So I guess you can't be too bad. It's just, do you know? And what do I know? I don't know. Like, who cares? If I think it's cringe, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm cringe.
Oh, it is. It is. Here's the thing that's lost on people like you and I, and then we start to think that we're crazy. Something that has escaped, it seems, the social fabric of society when it comes to social media, because we still recognize this sort of, let's just say, emotion outside of social media. But within social media, people somehow lack shame. It's gone. If I were to post a picture of myself with my tushy and other parts and I'm like, I would feel shame. Many people do not.
No.
And then I start to think, am I crazy? Because everyone is just like all this sort of stuff. I'm like, that's cringe. That's shameful. You should feel bad for posting that. And then, you know, they think that I'm crazy because it's like, no, it's the community of people.
Yeah.
And share because you don't know if I'm going through something like you. So it's very bizarre. It's very strange. But many of our people in our generation don't lack shame. Which is a shame.
Yes, we have a confidence problem. We have too much confidence. Everybody thinks very, very highly of themselves. And I don't get it. I don't understand.
We need to bring back crippling self-doubt. And I will be the dictator. I will be your fearless leader of crippling self-doubt because I am so good at bringing myself down to earth. I remember when I first started with Bubba, he's like, "Now I don't want you to get a big head." And I'm like, do you know how much anxiety I experience on a minute-to-minute basis where I question who I am and my capabilities every second of every day? It's impossible to be a narcissist.
That's the thing, too, is that you do have that anxiety, but you're not posting about it online. No. Like, I think, and maybe that's what bothers me so much. Like, you're lying. You don't really feel this way. You're claiming to feel this way for attention. Not you. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm talking about the people that are posting constantly about these things. And lying's a waste of my time. So when you post these things, if you really felt that way, if you were depressed, if you were anxious, you wouldn't be on Instagram posting stories about being depressed and anxious. So you're lying. That's what it is. That's what bothers me.
If you really mean it, you'd be dead. All right. You'd be dead and you wouldn't tell me about it. Not saying you should do that, but you wouldn't be broadcasting it on social media. You'd maybe tell a friend or something. I do that all the time where I'm like, hey, am I overreacting? Hey, is this normal? Hey, but this is a very small, tight-knit circle. Not even a circle. It's like dyads, like one person I trust here, one person I trust there. Nothing that should ever be broadcasted for seemingly anyone to see. That's a problem.
Also, what annoys me about it is they're depressed and they're anxious, as they claim. And maybe there is some truth to it, but not to the extent that they're talking about. They also they tend to post a lot about politics, too, which is living your politics. You live every day and you're depressed and you're anxious. So I don't want to be depressed and anxious. So I'm going to go ahead and do the opposite of what you would like to do. And there's been studies on this, too. I don't want to sound like a, I'm of the right or anything, because I'm really not. I get accused of it all the time, but I hate everybody. But they did studies where they showed like depression of especially young ladies who identify as leftists they're all depressed. Like, their mental health is awful. And then they do that, conservative chicks are just like, I go to church and I have children and I like life. It's fun.
That's interesting too, because it's like they're internalizing all this anguish that they don't have to, especially stuff that like maybe it involves you like on the perimeter but not really, or like you're fighting for like all these gay rights in like Mississippi. It's like you live in California, like it doesn't really affect you, but you feel like you need to fight on behalf of others. Let me tell you something else that I feel like is completely lost on most of I don't want to just say most of American society, but just most of like the Western world, I think has lost this concept, which is you're not supposed to be happy all the time. If you get upset, if you're depressed, especially if it's over an incident or a hard time you're going through in your life, if you're sad, that means your brain's working. If you get divorced and you want to cry, it's because your brain is working. If you don't feel sadness or depression ever, you have a broken brain and you need to go to the hospital. Not, something's not right with you. But we've told each other it's the opposite. We've told each other that we should be happy all the time and we should be joyous and every day should be like our last day and seize the day. No, no, you weren't evolved to be happy. You were evolved to survive.
Yeah.
When you experience happiness, it's your brain, it's your emotions trying to tell your brain and your body, this is good, more of this, whatever this is. You know, I felt good after working out. I felt good about myself. Yeah, you should, because it's healthy and da da da. When you feel bad about yourself and when you feel depressed, it's because, not all the time, but most of the time, it's because you should feel depressed. Maybe you did something bad. Maybe you were a bad boy or a bad girl. Maybe you were a bad friend. Maybe you didn't get your work done. Maybe whatever the case may be, maybe you're not making money because you lost your job. Yeah, you should be sad and depressed. And hopefully that will, you know, galvanize enough energy for you to go and seek a job and then find happiness again. But and to me, at least, and I'm sure it's like this for most people, happiness, sadness, depression is like a minute by minute thing. Like I could be so happy 1 minute and then like talk to my boss and be in a bad mood for the rest of the day, or vice versa. Like it's constantly fluid. It's constantly transient. You know this more than anybody. You're pretty petty like me. You could be having a great day. Someone says one thing to you, the rest of your day is kind of knocked off. So to think that we should be happy all the time is literally insane. You should not be happy all the time.
But not only that, you're right. You're right. Obviously, you should have we have a wide range of emotions for a reason. But also, too, it's the if you're upset and sad, that means your body's telling you need to do something else, because what you're Correct. Doing is not working. And we tend to just shrug that aside and go, no, 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 you're fine the way you are. We need to have reality and culture accept you for how you are, not have you change. That's a bad move. That's just going to lead to more despair and sadness, because there's a reason why you feel this way. And you can take as many pills as you want. Obviously there's, you know, late stage capitalism with that, with, you know, just prescribing pills to people who are sad and depressed, instead of going, I need to fix my life. There's a reason why I'm sad. It's not necessarily a chemical imbalance. It is for some people, but I wonder how many are actually imbalanced. How do you measure that? Is there any science but chemical imbalances?
Listen, Dark Match Jordan Peterson, I 100% agree with you. That's honestly, Will, that's such an important point, is that our emotions are trying to tell us something. And I don't mean this in like a spiritual, like celestial way. I mean, this isn't the universe talking to you. This is your brain telling you, if you want to have a better chance of surviving, do more of the things that make you happy, like having sex, like acquiring resources, like making connections with people who will be there for you when there's a rainy day, versus, you know, things that make you feel bad. When you have a bad emotion, it's your brain trying to guide your body into a different direction. So instead of thinking of it like you said, where let me just mask this with some pills because there's something wrong with me, let's think a little bit deeper about this and say, okay, why am I sad? Oh, is it because I'm a loser and all I do is smoke weed and live in my parents' basement? Yeah, you should be sad. And that sadness should be taking you in a different direction to try to seek a better mental state. But instead, we've told ourselves, no, it's a mental illness that shouldn't be stigmatized. I'm like, that's probably the worst thing you could tell somebody, is that this is how their brain is supposed to be, and there's nothing they can do about it except medicate themselves from stuff from Big Pharma.
And also, like demand changes to culture, to suit, to just society and our culture, right. Just demand to be, I feel bad, the system's making me feel bad, and it's a system of some sort of oppression or whatever. I don't prove it, I would say, but they have their theories, and the theories are just, you know, regulated, and, you know, that becomes a new truth. So now we all have to change and accept these certain things. And, you know, that's going to, you know, you could get into many subjects with that, but we all know that's true. People demand acceptance all the time. And it's like, well, maybe it shouldn't be accepted. you know, obviously you don't want any harm to come to anybody. Everybody should have rights and stuff. But I don't know. A lot of these lifestyles we're living. The one that comes off the top of my head is like the fat acceptance movement with, you know, I'm healthy. And it's like, you have it, you know, we've talked about it many times on this show. You are on oxygen right now. Like, you are dying in front of our eyes. I miss her too. I don't see it anymore.
She's probably dead. So
she might be. Yeah. But it's just like that's not good. That's not a way. And now doctors, this ideology is kind of crept. The critical theory is kind of crept into the, and well, it's always been in universities, but it's gotten into the sciences now, which we're kind of immune to it because they use science or used to. And now you got doctors saying, no, this is good. This is fine. And
if your doctor has blue hair, I've seen it before. And I'm like, first off, it looks so unprofessional. And secondly, it's like, I already know you're dragging your politics into your practice and I don't want anything to do with it. But no, you're right, Will. But what's funny about this and what I find so interesting about like the intersectionality of all these combating things in society and in our culture is that like body positivity is really only a woman's movement. Like no one's advocating for fat men. They're not getting laid. Like no one's trying to bang them. You know, they've pretty much outcasted themselves out of the dating market. Not all, but like, you know, girls are like, even fat girls are like, I want a guy who, you know, looks good, da da da. I'm a queen. I got a big booty. It's like your, you know, A1C levels are through the roof. Like, so it's oddly just like a women's power movement.
Yeah, that's true.
Much like you said with the mental stuff, it's like instead of thinking I need to improve. It's like, no, I'm perfect the way that I am. 10 out of 10. Society needs to adjust to me, find me attractive, normalize my psychological conditions, whether they be depression or that I think I'm in the wrong body or whatever the case may be.
And they do.
Very vaguely.
That's what's so crazy about this is it's like everybody has eyeballs and they can see these things, but they just, nah, I don't want to participate. Like everything's infiltrated by this methodology. I was watching a podcast the other day and they were showing examples of these very things. And it was a college beauty pageant, like online beauty pageant.
Online?
Yeah. It was like pictures. Like these are the nominees, decide who is Miss whatever college it was. And, you know, it was just like kind of average looking chicks, you know, no knockouts or anything. And then this mess pops up on the screen. Just you go, OK, you're a 3 out of 10.
The mess. Why was this person a mess?
I mean,
was it the ugly face?
Was it the fat? Yeah. I mean, just everything. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just everything's there. But since we have these, you know, just lambasted with beauty standard stuff that this is, you know, a social construct and it's on a college campus, you know, the average look at chicks had like 16 likes. This one had like 18,000 likes. So she won the beauty pageant.
The mess won
the beauty pageant. And it was just like, okay. I mean, like how long is it until it's going to be an insult? Where you're sitting there like, you look like a beauty queen. Like, and it means ugly now. You're like a fat, ugly mess. Because that's where we're going. That's where all these things are just like, no. But it's still a construct. Like, when you do this, like, quite clearly, there's ideology and bias. And it's everything you claim that you hate. Now it's just applied on the opposite thing. It's the other side of the coin. So now ugly is beautiful now. But words mean things. Beautiful is beautiful. Everyone can understand. Nope. Now ugly is beautiful. And just like, it's the same stuff. All of this is the same stuff that we're fighting about. It's just the other side of the coin. There's probably good critiques in some of these, on some of these sides. Each side has arguments, but there's just like, do we believe in reality or not? And it's quite clear that everybody does, but people are denying it and say that they don't.
Yeah, it's very strange when it comes to beauty because, like, we're all willing to admit that there's variations in terms of compassion or height or even intellect. Like, we're all willing to admit that sort of stuff. But somehow, with women and beauty, everyone's a 10. You're a 10. you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. It's like, much like you said, if everyone is beautiful, then no one is beautiful. It loses its meaning. It doesn't mean anything. But also, it's just like this weird sort of polite dance that we have to do because everybody knows who's hot and who's not. Everybody knows when a hot chick like walks into a room, it like sucks the air out for a second. Like everybody knows she's hot, so they feel it. But no one can state the obvious because, you know, it's, you know, hot Kennedy over here. But we also have to acknowledge that, like, you know, Rosie O'Donnell lookalike is also a 10 in her own sort of special kind of spunky way. And it's not the case. Not everyone can be a model. And that's okay. Well, why is not everyone championing to say, like, everyone's a nice person. Everyone's a good person. Everyone's compassionate. No one says these sorts of things because apparently those things don't matter. But beauty matters. Why? Because we're reproductive beings. And at the end of the day, the people who are the most attractive are the ones that have the most dating options. And that's kind of what our whole life is focused on Earth is survival and reproduction. So,
Anna, thanks. We're out of time. We could talk about this all day. Follow me on social, home_made_man. Instagram, same thing. HMB Radio on Facebook. And what else? I think that's it. I don't know. We're out of time. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Keep it locked right here on Radio St. Pete. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.